Hey everybody, I'm really sorry about that. The computer went out and I am having quite the difficulty today with this seminar. The other ones, thank goodness, have gone a lot more smoothly than this. And I don't quite remember. I think we're shifting from year two to year three. But before I start back with year three, I want to say that year two, the bulk of that is spent memorizing multiplication tables. And that takes some time and some work. There are different ways that you can do it. There are games. We talked about the introduction portion, but I have a whole video. If you're on my subscription, there's a whole video of different ways to practice multiplication. And I have a little bit of that in the curricula, but not a lot. So I'm going to send at least that video, maybe all of that content to you. Let me write that in my notes so I remember to do that. Okay. So hopefully by year two, we have some basic understanding of two digits by one digit, and most of the multiplication tables, or many of the multiplication tables, memorized. There's daily work. It just takes daily work and processing. And I got a little ahead of myself with some of this. This would be in year three. In year three, we're looking at larger numbers. So we're looking at two and three digit and even greater digit. And that kind of practice will continue in year four, but we've got other things coming in. So there's not quite as much of time is spent on multiplication after this. Other concepts, factors, and other fractions and so forth are coming in. But this is area model, and this works into here. I'm going to increase this a little bit so you guys can see and move this back a little. Okay, so this works our way into the algorithm. So, and like I said before, dividing things by place value. Now, most of people know the standard algorithm, and what I would do when teaching this is just to go over the area model or the blocks as you're doing this. First, we're multiplying 136 by 4, and then we're multiplying 136 by 20 when we do the standard algorithm. So if we go through this area model, I've increased it a little too much. 136 by 24, then we know this is 2,400, 1,200, 120, 120, and 24 there. And if we add all of these, let's see, thousands, we've got 3,000, 6, 7, 800, and 64 there. Okay, so what I would do with either the blocks, if first I would start doing teaching this with not three numbers, like you want to scaffold all the teaching. So you would start with two digit by one digit. And initially, it would be nice if they don't require regrouping. And then you would work in regrouping. When I say regrouping, I mean that the two numbers don't multiply higher than 10, so that it doesn't require us to take that 10 and put it in a different place. For instance, if we were looking at 12 times 3, or even 13 times 3, here we're doing this one first, and that's 9, and then 1 times 3. And that's 3. So there's no regrouping. Regrouping would be 14 times 3, where this is 12. right? And then this is 30. So as a shortcut, what we're doing is putting the 2 down here and then putting a little mark over here above the tens to remind us we have to add another 10 to whatever our tens are here. So one step at a time, 2-digit by 1-digit without regrouping, then 2-digit by 1-digit with regrouping, and then we'll go back to 2-digit by 1-digit, which will be something like 12 times 13. It has no regrouping, right? So it's just 6 and 3, and then we're putting this here because now we're multiplying by 10, 2 and 1. So we're working our way. Each time we progress, it's without regrouping first and then with regrouping. So I wouldn't start out with one this large, but when you're explaining what is happening, you can say, okay, first we're going to multiply the 136 by the 4. This 136 by the 4, and just go one at a time. Their ones first are 24, right? So we're putting 2 there, or 4 here, the ones, and then we're putting the 2 over the tens to remind us that we have to add another tens. And then the 30 times the 40, which is here, is 120, plus we have this other 2. So the 2 goes, we have this other 2, which is a 10. So that makes it 140. And we're putting the 1 above the 100 because we know we have to add another 100. Then we multiply the 100 times the 4, which is 400, and we have that additional 100, which is 500. So basically, this entire row now is added, and we have 544 because we've multiplied all of this by all of this. And then we're going to go back and now do the tens place. So because we're multiplying by a 10, this is going to be 0. We know that's going to be 0. So 6 times 20 is 120. So we're going to put the 20 there. And I'm going to squiggle these out. And I'm going to put a 1 on the 100 because now I know I have to put that extra 100 over there. And then I'm going to multiply the 30 times the 20, which I wrote down here as 1200, but it's actually 600. So that's 600, but I have this other 100 to add. So I'm doing 700, right? And then I have the 20 times 100, which is 2000. There. And then we're adding that all together to get 3,264. And this one is incorrect. So this number right here is this top one, this whole row times 20, which gave us 2,720. And when we add these two together, we have 3,264. So definitely when you're explaining that algorithm, you're going to want to do it with smaller numbers. I'm going to turn my paper around here. So you're going to want to start with, like I said before, like 13 times 3, right? And you can draw that area model. 10 plus 3 times 3. And then also, it's really easy to make that here. Here's my 3 times 10, and here is my 3 times 3. So I know this is 30, and this is 9, and it gives me 39. Right. But when we're explaining it, we're doing this one first, gives us 9, and then we're doing the 10 times 3, which gives us 30, and then move up incrementally from there. Okay. Permutations, which I go over, they are a lot of fun, I think. So it's hard to start with 1, right? So you might go backwards from there, but start with 2. If I have 2 different options, how many different variations can I have? On this one, it's pretty easy to see that there's only 2 options. When we get to the 3, it gets a little more complicated because we have a lot more options. Let me see here. Okay, so when we're using 3 things, there's 1. We could do it this way, right? Or we can do it this way, or we can also do it this way. So this is one of those things where we want them to think, we want them to work through this and find the various different options that are available. There needs some system eventually will need to come into place. Like when you're doing this, there would have to be a question of when do we have them all? Actually, I'm looking at this and realizing I don't think I do have them all. I don't have them all. So we're missing quite a few. And how do we know we're missing quite a few? And what system can we devise so that we know we're not missing them? And that's where this format comes in. So you'll notice that you see this in these, right? We recognize like this right here and this right here are the same. So there's some overlapping and lots of things to notice and wonder about here. And one of the things that we want to come up with is a way that we know we've got all of the options available to us. In this case, when we have 2, there are only 2 options. But now that we have 3, if these 2, you can see how these are the 2 options here. They're not exactly the same, but they represent the same kind of thing. Here we have 2 options, and this is the first color. So for each of those colors, we're going to have those same 2 options. So I've got this color with the white. Then I can alternate my green and red. And that means I'm going to have 2 for the red, where I can alternate my white and green, and 2 for the green, where I can alternate the red and white here. And this leads us into understanding a formula and how many we can expect to have for the net, you know, the X term. And then at this point, when we're like, well, you want to do several of these. So I would do at least 1 more. I don't know if I can fit another one in here. And let's talk about that 1 more when we're adding those in. For I'm going to have this option for every color every one that I add, right? Like this one is, this color is going to have two options. This color is going to have those same two options, and this color is going to have the same two options. This only has one option. When you just have one, there's no real design. So I would wait on this and start here. And then you can go back when you start to do a notice and wonder and talk about what you notice and how it progresses on knowing that I have these three options. How many options do you think we're going to have when we add a fourth one, right? We're basically going to have all of these options for each fourth, for each of the four. So it's going to be these times four, all of this times four, right? Because I can take this entire thing and put the four in front of it. And then the next option here, I'll just show you so that that's a little easier. Lots of fours. So first I know that I can do the white and the green. And then I know that I also have the variation of that right there, right? But then I also have this arrangement and this arrangement. So basically, I can go through and add my four to each of these. But then I'm able to do that for each color. Oh, I didn't add my four to this one. Oh, these are new. This is this combination here. Okay. So that gets all the combinations that we had here, adding the four in front, right? But now I can do each one of these combinations with the white in front. I can basically switch out the white and the purple here. And this is meant to be an exploration and to have some problem solving skills. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I know I'm going to have at least six combinations of this because I can do purple, red, and green, purple, yellow, and red, and then red, purple, and yellow, and red. I said yellow, that's actually light green and purple. Do you see what I'm doing? I'm replicating this by switching out the purples. And so I'll be able to replicate this, switching the purples for every color. So on this one, I'll have green, red, and purple, and then purple and red. Oops. I can do that again, this time with the red on the side and switching out the purple for the red, meaning everywhere that I see red here, I'm going to have purple and the reds are going to be here. So that you can see, because we have four of the colors, each one is going to be able to lead, and it's going to be a duplicate of this variation here. We're going to be doing that again. So that allows you to see the progression of the permutation and to see what variations are available. This is just an exploration of this in year three. This is something that will be much more involved when you hit the middle school years and you start looking at probability and statistics. Okay, so that's permutation. And then another thing that I think is a lot of fun for multiplication is exploring square numbers. And square numbers are important to recognize for a couple of reasons. They will, in later math, you'll be using them for radical work, which are roots, and exponents, and so forth. So square numbers are something that we want them to recognize pretty easily. And there is, I'll write that down to you. I have a blog post. Well, actually, it's in the curricula, what was in the blog post, which is the exploration, the notice and wonder with the square numbers and with the triangle numbers. So let me know if you have any questions about that. And looking here with multiplication, we revisit the area model. Division becomes larger numbers, and we're looking at area model division, which we talked about earlier. And then we move into Vedic. Honestly, I think Vedic is the easiest way to teach multiplication. And I'm gonna go over this a little bit with you. I think a preemptive exercise is first to begin asking, what do we get when we multiply one by one? We get our ones. So if we multiply our ones, we can expect to get ones. Now, if they require regrouping, which you want to try to avoid in the beginning, but if they require regrouping, we know that only one number can go in the ones place. So like we do for the standard algorithm, we just want to keep in our mind that we have so many tens to add to however tens. Now, how do we get our tens? Well, we can get tens by multiplying tens times one, right? So here, tens times one gives us tens. And this is where the crisscross or the butterfly method comes in. So to get the tens, we're multiplying these digits here. Because we're multiplying by 10, they are tens, right? So this crisscross will give us the tens digit. We need to add any tens that we had from the ones, and that will give us the total tens. Now, if we have 10 tens, that's 100. And in that case, we're going to mark above the number how many hundreds that we need to add, right? Our hundreds we will get by multiplying 10 by tens. So we call this crisscross applesauce, right? Crisscross applesauce. Let's do one and see what that looks like on paper. Let's do 16 times 13. Okay. The first ones, Vedic multiplication often uses these dots to show what's going on. So this is ones. We're going to do those two right there. One times one gives us one. These are tens. This is how we get our tens. Crisscross. Those are tens. And then our hundreds are 10 times tens. That's what gives us hundreds. Okay. So to get our ones, we're multiplying 6 times 3. That gives us 18, right? But 10 tens is 100. So I want to put that, or I'm sorry, that gives us 8, but then we have another 10 that I'm going to put over the tens so that I can remember I need to add that to my tens. Okay, to get my tens, I'm multiplying crisscross right here. So 1 times 3 or 10 times 3 is 30, and 10 times 6 is 60, right? So 3 and 6 is 9 plus this other one is 10. So we actually have 0 here, and then we are put this little mark here to remind us to do add that to the hundreds. We get our hundreds up here by multiplying 10 times 10. So 1 times 1 is 1, or 10 times 10 is 100. And then I have this other 100 that I need to add, so it's 208. I'll do another one of those, 23 times 45. Okay, I'm going to do the dots just so it's easy for us to remember. Actually, we'll just use the ones up here. Our ones are going to be straight down, right? 5 times 3 is 15. We have 5 ones and then another 10. I'm going to put that 10 up there so I can remember to add it to our other tens. To get our tens, we're multiplying our tens place by our ones place each time. We've crisscross. So this is 10, this is 12. So that gives us 22, and then this is 3, 23. And I'm going to put the 2 over here above the hundred space. There's not really a hundreds there. So to get our hundreds, we're multiplying 2 times 4, which is 8, and this additional 2, so it's 10. So this changes a little bit when we do the hundreds. It's a little more complicated. Our ones are achieved here. Our tens are achieved here. We already know that one. To get our hundreds, we are multiplying 100 times 1, 100 times 1, and 10 times 10. So there are 3 that we're adding here. And to get our thousands, we're doing 10 times 100, because 10 times 100 gives us 1,000. And to get our 10,000, we're doing 100 times 100, because that will give us 10,000. Okay. Let's do one of those. Let me turn this around. Actually, I'll just work through this one. 234 times 123. Remember that we're getting our ones by going down here, right? We already know that, 12. And then I'm going to carry that other 10. So I remember to place that 10 there. Okay, our tens are 9 and 8, which is 17, plus this is 18. So I'm going to put that there and put a 1 over, because I know I have that 100. 10 tens is 100. All right, this is where it gets a little more complicated. This is the most complicated state or piece. For our hundreds, we're crisscrossing hundreds to ones and then tens to tens. So we have to go 2 times 3 is 6, 1 times 4 is 4, so that gives us 10, and then 2 times 3 is 6, so now I have 16, and then this extra 100, so I have 17. Then I'm going to make a mark, because that 10 hundreds is 1,000. So I'm going to put that there. Okay, now I'm going to finish this. Now we're going to look at our thousands, and our thousands are achieved by multiplying the hundreds by the tens, right? So we're just doing crisscross on this side. 4 and 3 is 7, and then we've got that other 1,000, so that's 8. And then the last one we want to do is the 10,000s place, and that we achieve by multiplying 100 by 100. On this one, It is 2 times 1, which is 2. So our answer is 28,782. What is helpful in the beginning before you start a larger problem like this is to talk about the different place values. This is in the hundreds place, and this is in the hundreds place. And when we multiply that, we can see that we have 4 zeros, right? So we know it's going to at least be 10,000, possibly 100,000. Like it's going to have 5 or 6 digits, depending on how large those numbers are and whether or not we have to regroup them. So it's helpful to see what we expect this number to be. It helps us to see if we have that correct. Okay. Long division. I want to talk a little bit about that. And I don't have my 100 blocks with me. They are very helpful in doing long division. So remember that we spoke about the area model and how we wanted to do that. So we want to start with 2-digit. We want to start small, right? 2 digits divided by 1 digit and move our way up. And again, at first we want them to divide evenly. Let's look at 48 divided by 4. Oops, I did it the wrong way. 48 divided by 4. And you can even explain to your child that this represents the two sides of a rectangle, right? Here's our rectangle. We know we have 48 total. This side is 4. How much do I have on this side? Well, we need, with this 48, we need to be able to make that rectangle. We know that we can get 4 tens here, right? So that gives us 1 or 10 groups. And you can write 10 in the beginning. You can do that if you want on this side. And then we have 8 left over. And you can say, okay, now I've used 40. I have 8 left over. Where can I fit those 8? Let me move this a little bit. There we go. So you can see a little bit more. So these 8 can be traded for the 2 fours, right? And I have 10 on this side, plus 2 on this side, and then 4 on this side. So this is 12. We know that this is pretty easy because it's evenly divisible and there's no regrouping. We're going to look at one that does require regrouping. So let's add another 8 to this. So let's see. What does that give us? 56. Let's look at, now we're working with regrouping, 4, 56 divided by 4, right? So on this one, how many groups of 10, how many groups of 4 tens can we get? Because we're separating things by place value now, right? So these are our tens, we can get 1 group of 4 with those, right? So 1 group of 4 tens, and this is a 1 is in the tens place. 1 group of 4 tens, and that uses 40. So I have 1 ten left over. Here's my 1 ten, and then an additional 6. So I've used 40. I've got 4 on this side, 10 on this side so far, right? And then I have 16. How many 4s can we fit in 16? If we've been working on our multiples for a while, we know that 4 4s fit into 16. So 4 on this side, 4 on this side. This goes 4, and we've used a total of 16 now. So we have 0 left over. Okay. Trying to think where I want to go from this. The thing about teaching long division is that you want scaffolding. It's one little piece at a time. So start out small with things that divide evenly in the beginning and then work your way up. So you're looking at 2 digits divided by 1 digit where everything fits evenly. And then 2 digits divided by 1 digit where there requires regrouping like we did here. And then you can move into 3 digits by 1 digits. And it's slow start. And with the 3 digits, I don't have my 100 lux here. But you can use the 100 blocks in your division. So let's look at 364 divided by 5. I don't even know. Well, I know here. We'll change that to 5. Now it divides evenly. You would have your blocks, right? And this is a really good example because this gives me the opportunity to show you with our hundreds, beginning with our hundreds. So if we were to build this or draw it, these are 10 by 10 blocks. So each one of these is 100, right? I have 300 and then I have 6 tens. And then 5 ones. This is what I have here. I can't get a group of 5 out of my 100s. I'm not able to do that at all. And so I can put a 0 here in that place. Now this one's, you need to do this after. I would do this somewhere in the double digit before you do the 100. Each step you take, you want to scaffold from the beginning and work your way up, right? So in the beginning, we're doing numbers that fit evenly into each place value. And then we do regrouping. And then we're going to do it where there the first number has a 0. There's nothing, no groups that we can make out of the first number. And then when we move back up to 3 digit by 1 digit, we're going to do where things fit evenly. And then we're going to move into regrouping, and then we'll move into where the first number doesn't fit evenly. So there are a lot of steps up to this in practicing. Okay, so I can't make any groups. So what happens to these 300s? They all get split up into tens, and now I have 36 tens. So how many 5s can I fit in 36? I mean, if they need to, they can count, like, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. There's 7 groups. And that leaves me with 1 group left, right? Because 7 groups of 10 would be 35. 7 groups of, would be 35. So I'm using 35 tens. And I've got 110 left. And then I'm going to add that to my ones, and that gives me a total of 15. That's horrible, but you get the idea. I have these 15 left. And how many groups of 5 can I get in 15? I can get 3. So I'm putting 3 there. So you get where this is going and how you show this long division. So from this point, we start to look at estimating, like when we use estimation for these for longer divisions. So maybe we want to look at 12 and 372. When we're looking at this, and 12 might not be a great one because they have, hopefully they're memorizing their 12 number tables, but say they don't have them memorized. We can look at estimating to give us an idea how many we can have. And I think it's helpful, you know, I'm sitting here, there's also a division video, long division video that I did. I'm going to add that to the list of things to send you guys. I don't know where my list is. Here it is. Okay. So there's also a long division video that I will send to you. But we're back over here. So one of the things that is good is to do a little bit of problem solving here, right? What's 10, 12 times 10? We know that's 120. Well, I can at least get 120 in there. So I know I'm going to use at least 10 12s. What about 20 12s? What does 20 12s give us? And that gives us 240. Well, look at that. I can expect to at least get 20 12s. So this gives us an idea. What about 30 12s? That gives me 360, and now I'm going to get that. What about 40 12s? So you get the idea here. This is especially useful if you go through and write the multiples of 12 before you start. So this is going to give me 480. Well, that's too many. I don't have 480, so I know I'm not going to get 40 12s. So my number is going to be somewhere between 36 and 40. The next thing that we're going to say is, what if we round this so we can estimate? And then we will use that to see how many we think will fit. So obviously, there are zero groups of 12 that we can get with 3. So we're going to take these hundreds, and now they're going to be part of the tens. And now we have 37 tens. How many groups of 12 can we get in 37 tens? Well, if this were 10, it's close to 10. We would be able to get 3 groups. Do you think we could get 3 groups? Let's try that. So we put a 3 here, right? And 3 by 36, we can separate it like we do. 3 times 10, 3 times 2 is 36. Oh, we had enough. With 1 left over, we can't get any more groups of 12. If they didn't estimate correctly, maybe we estimated 2 and we have 13 left over. It's no big deal. Like, oh, we can get another group of 2. That's not a 2, that's a 3. So let's change that to a 3. You see what I'm saying? This is a logic kind of game that we're playing. And we want to be on the same team for this. We want to be encouraging. So that's no big deal if we guess wrong. Okay, so now I have one 10 left over. Where is that going to go? We're going to break that 10 up and put it with the ones. And that is going to become 12. Okay, that's easy. How many groups of 12 can we get? Out of 12, we can get one. One group of ones is 12. So when we draw our rectangle, we have 12 on this side. And we have 3 groups of 10, right? 1, 2, 3 groups of 10 on this side. And then we have one little dot left over on here. So that gives us 10, 20, 30 plus, this should really just be 1 over there. All right, so that's long division. And that is a biggie. And my homeschooling, for us, we don't introduce that into fifth grade because I feel like there is so much that needs to be down like understood before you do long division. You need to understand place value really well. You need to understand multiplying by multiples of 10 very well, or, you know, well, multiplying by multiples of 10 or hundreds or any magnitude of that. And you need to understand what division is, and you need to understand multiplication area model to really understand what you're doing for place value. So we don't even attempt to do this till fifth grade. Most curricula, even Waldorf curricula, introduces it in fourth grade. Just personally, I think it's a little early for true understanding. But it's big, and you want to go a little piece at a time. You want to work your way into it. You want to play with it, explore, see what they understand. Okay. Definitely want to do the rods first. You want to do this a lot with the rods in the beginning, and then you want to transfer that to paper and what it looks like on paper and go from there. And the same with each step, right? You're scaffolding one step at a time, two digit by one digit without regrouping, two digit by one digit with regrouping, two digit by one digit with the first number. You're not able to make any groups with the first place value number, right? It's not divisible by the first place value number. And then you go three digit by one digit, no regrouping, three digit by one digit with regrouping, three digit by one digit with the first place value having no groups. There's a zero placeholder there. So it's definitely about scaffolding. And yeah, algorithm, it's also going to require a lot of practice. This stuff just requires a lot of practice. And you can do that in different ways. For some, multiplication prime climb is good, even for two digit times one digit. And if you go backwards on prime climb, it helps you with division. Although personally, I think it's too easy. If a child knows that the numbers are factored by color, it makes it too easy to figure out the answer, but it still can be good practice. And then long division itself, the whole process is just going to take some practice. Okay. The last thing that I wanted to show you in year three are the multiplication circles. I love these. These aren't very helpful in like illustrating or learning multiplication tables or anything like that, because they have a pattern. And once you figure out the pattern, it's pretty easy. So for each one of these, it just goes to the next. You just skip a dot and go to the next one. But it does give a wonderful activity for a wow, that's impressive. And isn't math beautiful? Because it really is. So this is the two times table. And this is the three times table. And I think I mentioned it in the curricula, but there is a video that goes over these from Math Blogger, I think. And it does several other. I've just done two and three as an example, but there's a pattern. And about the curves, like what this is doing is forming tangents. Each one of these lines is a tangent to this cardioid curve right here. And we are drawing the lines and forming the curve through the tangent. So that's pretty cool in and of itself. And the same with this. And you can see here, this has one of these, right? This has two of these. What do you think the third one is going to be? So this is two. This is three. The next one would be four, and there's a whole video on that are pretty impressive. And this is mostly for, you know, to keep math fun and enjoyable. It's fun to see what the design is going to come out to be. And these 100 dots are included in the curricula too. Okay, that takes care of the seminar. I want to thank everybody for coming. I apologize for all the interruptions and technical difficulties we had today. And also, I'm noticing this is going to be a long seminar. I mean, I guess it's a lot of information covering 3 years of multiplication and division, but it's a long seminar. So maybe it's good that it's broken up into two videos. All right. Thanks, everybody. Bye.